So stand with me in honor of God's word as we have our scripture reading. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, that so as through fire. May the Lord be blessed by the reading and hearing of his word. Please be seated. A building that endures. That is our title today. We're continuing through the book of 1 Corinthians. A building that endures. Let's begin with prayer. Father, I thank you so much for the privilege and opportunity that it is to teach your word. I thank you, Father, for those who have come out and who are here so faithfully. And I pray, Lord, your blessing on them. And Lord, right now I know that there are worries and fears and concerns and distractions and all these things going on in our minds and in our hearts. And I ask, Father, that you would clear those away, that we would be able to focus on your word alone. And as your Holy Spirit works in our hearts, that we would not be content to just be mere hearers of the word, but that we would put it into practice. We would be doers. Father, I ask that you would guide my words and my speech, that I would be your tool and instrument to communicate the truth of your word to your people. I thank you and I praise you, and I look forward to what you are going to do today. Thank you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. One of the things that I love is ancient civilizations. Old ruins, I love archaeology and all that kind of stuff. And so from time to time, I will look at pictures and I'll read articles about them. It's incredible to me that there are buildings that exist now that were constructed in ancient times. For example, on the Isle of Malta, there's temples that are believed to be several thousand years old, and they still look like this. To this day, thousands of years later, there's these temples that are standing. One of the other things that I love is construction. And so when I hear that a building has stood for thousands of years, it makes me wonder, what did they make it out of, right? What was the process that went into making this building? What materials were used to create a building that has stood for millennia? When you build carefully, paying strict attention to the selection of materials, crafting each part with care, you can have a building that will stand the test of time. And there's a comparison in God's word, and it appears in our passage today. In Scripture, the life of the believer is compared to a building. What we're going to deal with today is how to have a spiritual building that endures. How can we have a spiritual building that is going to stand up to any test? That's what we're going to discover today. Tithing is several things. Rewards also, parts of this are talking specifically about building the church. And so all of those elements are going to be a part of this that we're going to talk about today. Today we will consider how we build and what we build with, that we might have a spiritual building that endures. Eternal rewards depend on our activities in this life. So the question is, will our works endure? To have a building that endures, we must take four actions. Action number one, to endure, build carefully. To endure, build carefully. When you work with wood, well, I guess probably any kind of material that you're cutting, there's a saying. And the saying is, measure twice, cut once. Measure twice, cut once. This is one of those sayings that I know but I don't always do the best at following it. When Jess and I first got married, I built us our bed that we had for years. And so the headboard and the footboard were made of this piece of wood that I had to cut to size. And so I had to add all these different measurements together. And the one thing I forgot to account for was the thickness of the posts, right? So the side rails came in and they connected to this post, and there's about a 2-inch piece of wood that I didn't account for in my measuring. So the end result was that it was about 4 inches too wide, the whole bed frame. Now, we made it work, but had I built more carefully, things would have gone a lot better. In our passage today, Paul is encouraging the Corinthian believers to build carefully. And then he describes what a careful builder looks like. So there's two characteristics here of a careful builder. Characteristic number one, a careful builder works. A careful builder works. Now, that might seem really basic, and it is. And that's what Paul describes here in verse 9. He says, "For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building." In verses 5 through 8, which we looked at a few weeks ago, Paul explained how some plant, some water, God gives the increase. We will all be rewarded according to our labor. Here he explains that he and Apollos are both workers. They're laboring to bring forth a harvest. They're building with the Lord. And there's something important in this verse that we can easily miss. And that is, let me just explain. So in my preaching, I use the New King James Version. We could talk about why. That's a whole different conversation. But one of the things we lose with a lot of these modern translations is we lose easily recognizable plurals. What do I mean? Have you ever wondered why the original King James has ye and thee and things like that? It helps us spot the plurals, okay? So what does that mean in this passage? In this passage, there's two ye's in verse 9 that we miss, and it lets us know that Paul's not talking to an individual. He's talking to the church as a whole. But let me read it for you in the King James Version. "For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building." What these two ye's tell us is he's addressing his comment to the church as a whole. The church is God's field and building. This verse is vital in understanding what comes later in verses 16 and 17, which hopefully we will get to next week, God willing. In verses 16 and 17, Paul brings in the effect that one believer's actions can have on the rest of the body of Christ. What he's saying is that if in my personal life I'm living in rebellion to God, to Christ, it can bring defilement into the body, into the church. The church is the bride of Christ. It's his holy set-apart body, and no defilement is tolerated in the church. That's the point he's going to make, and as he leads up to that, he's going to discuss the personal responsibility we have as we work for Christ. Again, this discussion is happening because how I behave in my personal life has an effect on the corporate body of Christ. Okay? Now, this is really important because there's a lot of people today that seem to ignore this. Right? They'll say, well, it's just me and my spirituality, but it affects the rest of the body of Christ, what we do. So Paul and Apollos work with the Lord in building the building that is the church at Corinth. If we are to have a building that endures, it must be built with care. For a local church to endure, it has to be built by God and by leaders who work at him. Because a building is only as good as the work that went into making it. Half-hearted work results in a building that has serious problems. You wouldn't want a builder who says, well, I'm gonna do half an effort on your house. I'm gonna build it, but I'm not gonna work really hard at it, right? Paul calls the Corinthian church the field and building of God. A field is cultivated by a farmer. He tends and cares for it. And part of that care is to watch for plants that become diseased or harmful to the plants around it, right? Because if you have a plant that's diseased, it's going to affect the ones around it. And so you want to stop the disease. And if you can't stop the disease, if it can't be treated, the plant is removed. If a building has a support that is weakened, a good builder is going to seek to support that weak spot. And if the support doesn't work, the part must be removed. These two ideas lie at the heart of what Paul is going to be discussing. The health of the field is affected by the health of individual plants. The health of a building is affected by the strength and integrity of each part. And so your first blank there says, careful building requires diligent work. Careful building requires diligent work. Would you read that with me, please? Careful building requires diligent work. Are we working to have a healthy field and a strong building? That means in the church, here at Grace Church of Watford, are each one of us doing our part to have a healthy field and a strong building? Is there anything we're doing that could undermine the health of the local church? We build carefully, and that means we work hard. But there's a second characteristic here. A careful builder watches. A careful builder, why have that word careful all through this? So if I can't say it well, we're going to be stumbling a lot this morning. A careful builder watches. Look at verse 10. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. So Paul is carrying forward his illustration of a building, and he's using that to drive this point home. By God's grace, as a called and commissioned apostle, he says he has laid the foundation. What is the foundation? He's going to get to that in just a second. But he says here that he laid the foundation and someone else is building on it. We must be careful how we are building on the foundation. That's the big verse. Now, I want to pick out a few details and deal with them. Paul says what he accomplished at Corinth was due to the grace of God. He further states that God's grace was given to him. This word translated given is passive. What that means is Paul did nothing to receive God's grace. This is a theme of Scripture. Grace is never earned. It is given. If it's earned, it's not grace. Okay? So Paul says he's had this grace given to him. We do nothing to receive God's grace, and yet we can do nothing without it. That is one of the interesting things of the Christian life. God's grace has been given to each of us. How are we using it? When Paul refers to himself as a master builder, it is not an exercise of pride. He is expressing his position as an apostle within the bounds of his illustration, right? So his illustration is the church is a building, right? The Corinthian church is a building, so he's the one who helped to lay this foundation. He's expressing his position as an apostle, right? As an apostle, as a church planter, that's what Paul did. He went around and laid foundations for churches. When we trust in Christ, the foundation is laid. It is our responsibility to build on that foundation with care. In a church context, the foundation is Christ, and we're building on that foundation in the local church. What are we building? That is the question. To that end, we have to take heed, Paul says, how we build. This word take heed is the Greek word blepo, and it means to see, to watch carefully, to be vigilant, to be on the lookout, or to be careful. A careful builder is vigilant. Now, if you've ever been on a building project, you're going to know this term, the inspector, right? Loved, hated, feared. Inspectors come onto job sites to ensure that everything is being built carefully. Paul is saying each one of us needs to be a building inspector. And the building that we are to inspect is ourselves. In the end of this verse, Paul switches to the singular. Each person in a local church is part of the building. We build individually. Paul is calling for us to be very careful in our building. And so your next blank there says, careful building requires diligent study. Careful building requires diligent study. Would you want a builder who said, well, I've never been to school and I've never done a building project, but I got this. No worries. That's why Paul says we need to take heed. We need to watch carefully how we are building. We pay careful attention to the work. Why? Because one mislaid beam can bring down a building. One diseased plant can spoil an entire field. To have a building that endures, we have to take action. Thinking about this in a church context, if we're not building our church on the foundation of Christ and using materials that honor and glorify him, then the building's not going to endure. Our first action here is to build carefully. That means we work hard and we're on guard against corruption. Action number two, to endure, build correctly. To endure, build correctly. There's a picture that I have seen, and you may have seen versions of these, it always makes me laugh. The problem is it's super relatable. Okay, you ready? Here's the picture. This is commonly called an IKEA fail. If, for those who can't see it, it's a chair where the back is flipped around and it's where the legs should be and the legs are where the back should be. Right? IKEA is a furniture company famous for sending you stuff that you build yourself. And anyone who has ever put something, a piece of furniture especially, together knows it's a frustrating experience, right? Especially when you get a step wrong. I had a friend the other day who said something like this. They said, if you're on step 43 of 50 and you realize that you made a mistake on step 4, do you A, redo the whole thing, or B, keep going and hope for the best, right? When we are building, we have to build correctly. When we don't, the building becomes unusable. Paul acknowledges our need to build correctly, and he provides us with two guidelines to accomplish it. Excuse me. So two guidelines. To build correctly, we have to have a correct fellowship. So if we're going to endure, we need to build correctly. To build correctly, we have to have a correct fellowship. Look at verse 11. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Why does Paul bring this up? Because there are people out there who are trying to lay a different foundation. And Paul addresses this very clearly in Galatians. Look at Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. Galatians 1, 6 through 9. I'm going to clear my throat here. Okay, Galatians 1, 6 through 9. Paul says, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another. But there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. There is only one gospel. And Paul says here in 1 Corinthians, no other foundation can anyone lay than what is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Jesus said when he was on this earth, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He didn't say I'm a way, a truth, and a life. We must fellowship with those who agree to a simple truth, and that is this. Faith in Jesus is the only acceptable method of salvation. It's the only method of salvation. That's it. No other foundation, Paul says, can anyone lay. By the way, putting this into the context of 1 Corinthians, Paul can't lay another foundation, not Apollos, not Peter, only Christ, right? What was the problem they were having? They were trying to follow men. And Paul says, don't do that because the only foundation is Christ. Earlier, we sang a song about a foolish man who tried to build his house on the sand. And when tested, his house fell. Only the foundation of Jesus Christ can stand. Those who teach a different foundation are the enemies of Christ. We would call these people false teachers. And so your blank says, don't fellowship with false teachers. Now, that doesn't mean you can't know any false teachers or you can't try to reach them with the truth of the gospel. What it means is we don't go to false teachers for encouragement and strength. We don't go to them for the things that the body of Christ can provide. Because if we're going to build correctly, we have to have correct fellowship. I look at this as kind of like a construction crew. You don't want to just have a couple of guys who know how to build on the crew and the rest of them just do whatever they want. You got to have a crew of people surrounding you who are building in the same way that you are. And that's what the local church is to be. We're all builders. We're working to build up the body of Christ. By the way, that connects with our vision for next year, having building blocks on this foundation to give everyone this firm foundation. If we're going to build correctly, we have to have correct fellowship. That's the first guideline here as we seek to build correctly. Secondly, if we're going to build correctly, we must have a correct foundation. A correct foundation. Verse 11, once again, for no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. There is only one foundation. Why does Paul bring this up here? Because they had been attempting to build on the foundation of personality, right? They had been trying to build on Paul or Apollos or Peter. That is not a good foundation. When Peter was addressing the Sanhedrin in Acts 4, this is what he tells them in verse 12. Nor is there salvation in any other, for no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. No other name. No other foundation. Paul already asked them, were we crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? No. The only rock upon which we establish our lives is Jesus. Jesus is the only foundation that will endure the storms of life. We sang, my anchor holds. Right? Blow your wildest then, O gale, because my anchor holds. It's the other old hymn says, on Christ the solid rock I'm found. All other ground is sinking sand. What is your foundation? Are we building on Jesus Christ or are we building on sand? We must build correctly. That means we build on the foundation of Jesus Christ. There are no substitutes. There are no additions. It isn't Jesus and. It is Jesus alone. And so your blank says the only correct foundation is Jesus. Would you read that with me, please? The only correct foundation is Jesus. We must reject anything else. If we are building correctly, we have the fellowship of others who are building on the foundation of Jesus Christ. He's the only correct foundation. If we want to have a building that endures, we build on the right foundation. So, action number one, we build carefully. Action number two, we build correctly. Action number three, to endure, build competently. To endure, build competently. Jess and I enjoy doing projects together. And sometimes we'll buy a dresser for one of our kids and we'll redo it, or we'll have a piece of furniture in our house and we'll redo it, refinish it, repaint it. Once there was this dresser, and I believe it was one that was given to us, and we're repainting it for the girls. And so we needed to replace the handles, the knobs on it. So we ordered some handles and they arrive and we eagerly go to put them on the dresser, only to discover that they're the wrong size, because neither one of us had thought that there would be different sized handles. They were too far apart. They didn't fit. And of course, by the time we figured this out, it was past the time to return them. They're still in my toolbox in the garage. So you have to be competent, right? You have to know what you are doing. And that means you carefully choose how you're going to build. So we want to make sure we have everything we need to complete the job. We want to make sure all the correct items are there to achieve the desired result. If we're going to build competently, there are two choices we need to make. Choice number one, choose your materials. Choose your materials. Look at verse 12. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw. Now, we've already talked about the foundation. Our foundation is Jesus Christ. That's the only foundation. Paul's point is, what are we building on that foundation? What materials are we using? We can build carefully and correctly, but if we're using the wrong materials, we're still going to end up with a building that will not endure. The best buildings have the best materials. And Paul gives us two categories, right? He gives us gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw. Warren Wiersbe distinguishes the two in this way. He says, gold, silver, and precious stones are permanent, they're beautiful, they're valuable, and they're hard to obtain. Wood, hay, and straw are passing and temporary. They're ordinary. In some cases, he says, they're even ugly. They're cheap, and they're easy to obtain. And when we put it like that, we have to say, well, which one should I use? Right? Do I want one that's ugly and easy to obtain and gonna poof, go up in smoke? Or do I want something that is going to last? There's something important to note, though, about our spiritual works, and that is that the quality of our works can only be known by us and the Lord. I cannot tell you what you are building, and you cannot tell me what I'm building with. We can't know. We know. God knows. You may be thinking, but what if I've built with straw in the past? You can't change the materials you have already built with. That's the bad news. Right? We can't go back in time and say, well, I'm going to fix this. Right? I'm going to throw out all the straw and start using precious stones. All we can do is move forward and choose better materials in the future. Now, we may wonder why the materials we choose matters. Remember our title today, a building that endures. A building that endures. Why do we have to be careful what we are going to choose, because some materials endure and some do not. We want to build with what will last, and we must consider what type of materials our foundation is worthy of. Think of it this way. If you had a diamond foundation, would you then slather it with mud and build an adobe hut on top of diamond? Probably not, right? We have the best foundation possible. What building materials is our Lord worthy of having us build with? I would say this. Jesus Christ deserves our best. Jesus Christ deserves our best. We choose the building materials that exalt him. Would you read that with me, please? Jesus Christ deserves our best. He is the one we're building to please. The choice of our materials is tied into the second choice. But we need to be selective in our materials because of choice number two, and that is choose your outcome. Choose your outcome. Look at verse 13. Each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. Our choice of material matters because it's going to be tested. So here's the question. He says, it's going to become clear, the day is going to declare, it's going to be revealed by fire, right? What happens to wood, hay, and straw when it goes into the fire? It burns up. It goes poof, right? The straw and the hay goes up really fast, right? And the wood may last a little longer, but it still burns. What happens to gold and silver? It gets purified, right? When it goes into the fire, it's purified. What happens to precious stones? Nothing in the fire, right? So what Paul says, we want to work with the best materials because they're going to be tested by fire. One day, we are going to know the quality of our works. It's going to be evident how the day is going to declare it. I mean, there's a definite article here because it's the day. What's he talking about? He's talking about the judgment seat of Christ and the specific day in which the works of believers will be evaluated. That takes place at the judgment seat of Christ. And he says this day is going to declare it. It means to reveal or make manifest. The quality of our works will be made manifest at the judgment seat of Christ. They're going to be revealed by fire. And then we're going to know whether they were good or bad. Paul ends the verse by declaring that to be this whole point, right? The fire is going to test our works. It's going to reveal what kind of work it is. What does all this mean? It means that we have right now to choose our building materials. We can't change what you've chosen in the past, but we can change what we're going to choose in the future, what we're currently building with. Will my works endure the flame? Will yours? I believe that all of us are going to have some works that burn. But I also believe that all of us are going to have some works that are going to endure. My goal is not to frighten us. My goal is to challenge us and to encourage us to build carefully, correctly, and competently. Why? So that our building will endure. The endurance of our works depends on our choices. Would you read that with me, please? The endurance of our works depends on our choices. Will we build with lasting materials? Will we build with materials that will burn? Why does it matter? I'm glad you asked. Because of the fourth action here. So to kind of recap, we want to have a building that endures. And to do that, we need to build carefully. We need to build correctly. We need to build competently. Finally, action number four. To endure, build conclusively. To endure, build conclusively. Now, you may or may not have noticed that our slide that we began with had a blueprint in the background. When we build, we have a blueprint. We have, what do we call them? Plans. We have plans for how we're going to build. We need to have a goal, a guideline to determine how we are building. If I were to grab a nail gun, a saw, and some wood and start randomly cutting board blanks and nailing them together, would I end up with a house? No. What I would end up with is a mess, right? Some of us in our spiritual lives have no plan. What we have is a mess. Okay? Some churches, right? Because again, he's talking about a local church context. If we don't have a plan, we end up with a mess. We need to work on our building. And in these final two verses for today, Paul gives us two possible outcomes. Which one we're going to experience depends on how we build. Outcome number one. receive a reward. Receive a reward. Look at verse 14. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. Built on what? On the foundation of Jesus Christ. Every believer has the same foundation. And then there are given to us spiritual gifts, and how we use them is up to us. The key is that every single one of us can build with gold, silver, and precious stones. It is possible. Now, that doesn't mean it's going to be easy, right? Once our works have been evaluated, there will be some that have burned. The works that do not burn serve as the basis of our reward. The question we have to ask at this point is, how do I build with the right materials? There's this great book called the Bible, and it has instructions for us on how to build. When we knowingly and intentionally violate Scripture, those works are going to burn. When we live and act in accordance with the Word of God, those works will endure. Scripture reveals that those whose works endure will have opportunity to serve Christ in eternity. They're going to have special joy and fellowship, and they're going to hear "well done" from Him. And they're going to have the opportunity of receiving at least 5 different crowns that are mentioned in Scripture. Thomas Constable writes this. He says, "It is perfectly proper to serve Christ to gain a crown. We will one day lay it at the feet of our Savior. It is a symbol of a life of faithful service that we performed out of gratitude for His grace to us." Some are uncomfortable with this idea of rewards. However, I believe we need to submit ourselves to what Scripture reveals. Scripture says we're going to have rewards. And so we will, or we will have the loss of rewards. When we build with gold, silver, and precious stones, those works endure, and we will be rewarded. And so on your blank there, it says rewards are given to those who work for them. Would you read that with me, please? Rewards are given to those who work for them. Like the builder in the whole illustration here, you get the reward once the building is built. If you don't build the building, if it doesn't endure, you don't get paid, right? And in a sense, the rewards are a payment to us. Now, I understand some people say, "Oh, well, Christ is all I need." That's great. I'm so glad that you feel that way. But Scripture also reveals that you're going to get rewards, whether you want them or not, right? That's what Scripture reveals. And we need to submit ourselves to that. And so part of our motivation in this life is the rewards waiting in the life to come. We need to do works that will endure. And when we do, we have outcome number one. We receive a reward. However, there is a second outcome here that Paul mentions. Outcome number two, suffer loss. Suffer loss. Verse 15, if anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. Paul's answer before it is asked, what about those whose works burn? If someone's works burn up, does that mean that they are eternally lost? This verse answers that question very conclusively. If all of our works burn, we are still safe and secure in Christ. Why? Because we have this foundation. These works that he's talking about are being built on the foundation of Jesus Christ. If you have Jesus Christ, you are secure and safe in Him. The only people present at the judgment seat of Christ are believers. Therefore, the people mentioned here in this verse are blood-bought children of God. It is the works that are evaluated, not the salvation. This is very, very important. The judgment seat of Christ is not a judgment judging salvation. It's an evaluation of our works. Today, the great white throne judgment is dealing with salvation and the works of those who will be condemned. We are not eternally lost because salvation cannot be lost, right? The foundation is Jesus Christ. The foundation doesn't change. However, we may suffer the loss of rewards. That is what Paul clearly states. If our works are burned, we suffer loss. That's what he says. Loss of what? Loss of reward. However, we're still saved. It is possible to stand before the Creator of the universe and know that He gave us gifts and talents and abilities and we wasted them. I don't know about you, but I don't want to stand empty-handed before the King of Kings, knowing that there are things and ways that I could have served Him, but I didn't. The works that burn are selfish ones. The works that burn are selfish ones. And folks, We live in a society that is telling us to please ourselves. We live in a society that's telling you that you need to have self-love. The thing is, self-love is born out of a proper understanding of God's love for us. C.T. Studd is famous for saying this quote, "Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. The only thing that is going to endure the fire is what we do for Christ." As we wrap this up, I want us to consider what building for eternity looks like in some practical areas. On a personal level, it's pretty straightforward. What materials are we building with? We have the foundation of Jesus Christ. Don't use flammable materials to build with. Practically speaking, this means we walk in obedience to the Word of God. A commitment here could look like self-evaluation to reveal areas we have allowed sin to creep in and then dealing with those areas. Relationships. Are we focused on eternal goals in our friendships and relationships? Have we given consideration to the eternal destination of our friends? If they are already believers, are we, as Proverbs says, iron that is sharpening iron? Are we encouraging? Are we challenging each other to love and serve others better? A commitment here could look like evaluating our friendships and choosing how we will build for eternity. Parenting. So often in my parenting, I am reactive instead of proactive. When we build for eternity in the lives of our children, it means we parent on purpose. We teach life lessons in life situations, and most importantly, we lead by example. A commitment here could be taking the time to listen to the hearts of our children. What are they thinking? What are they planning? What are they dreaming? What's going on in their hearts and minds? Marriage. Believer or not, your spouse is an eternal being made in the image of God. Our goal and prayer must be to evaluate, to elevate them at every opportunity. Not to evaluate them at every opportunity. Man, that's what we do, right? And we shouldn't do. Elevate them at every opportunity. Don't tear one another down. Lift one another up. A commitment here could be to speak one encouraging word every day this week and to speak one less negative word each day this week. I'm going to give you a few moments here to write down a commitment. Please don't write down to evaluate your spouse. That was a misspeak. Write down to elevate your spouse. So take some time and write down a commitment. All right. Eternal rewards depend on our activities in this life. Will our works endure? We've looked at four actions here. The first, be careful. Pay attention to how you are building. You know, in building a house, if you don't pay attention, you end up hurt. And the same thing is true spiritually speaking. If we are not careful, we don't pay attention, we're going to end up hurt. Same is true in the church. In the local and universal body of Christ, we need to be careful. The second one was be correct. Jesus is the only true foundation. We need to be careful of our fellowship. Those closest to us should be those who are promoting us to live like Christ. Jesus is the only foundation. Thirdly, be competent. Use only the best materials. What are we building with? Are we building with wood, hay, and straw? Or are we building with gold, silver, and precious stones? Fourthly, be conclusive. Build for eternal reward. Have a goal. Have a plan. Finally, may Christ be glorified as we serve him with the gifts he has given. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you for the incredible reminders that it has for us and for the challenge that we want to have a building that endures in our personal lives. We want our works to endure in the body of Christ, in the local church. We want to have a church that is going to endure, that is going to grow and mature and build people up. And so, Father, in our personal lives, in our marriages, in our parenting, in our relationships, in the church, may we build carefully. May we build correctly. May we build competently, and may we build conclusively. And most of all, may everything we do, everything we say, and everything we think bring praise and honor and glory to you in your name. We pray all of these things in the precious name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.